Walker, what's up, dude? How you doing?
Doing well, Kyle. Doing well. It's 2024. I've had a child.
Hey, you.
His name's Huey.
Huey is a magical little dude. I love him. I'm excited to meet him. But you're right, it's 2024, and I feel like we haven't put anything out in a little while for our public podcast or our public platform. Am I right?
You are correct. Yeah, we haven't done it for a while, which isn't because we haven't been working. We still got the Patreon going, and we've launched an entire new website that is a more refined, clean version of all your PT programs.
Yeah, we've been busy. We've been busy. Yeah, so we got the Patreon still going. We got our new website where we have all of our content very well organized in ways that you can sift through and find exactly what you need for your specific injury. So we've been busy with those platforms, but I feel like we haven't done a public podcast. What do you think about putting our ice conversation up on YouTube and up on our public podcast? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a good idea because even though it was recorded a couple years ago, it's still very relevant information. Like,
it is.
I'm constantly hit up about ice. I'm always seeing it. It seems like everyone has an ice sponsor all of a sudden, or like ice baths are like the newest trend, or those buckets or whatever.
Yep.
And I often want to refer people to this information because it was kind of mind blowing for me. So yeah, let's just put it out.
Let's do it. Yeah. The ice, it's kind of funny and bizarre and interesting all at the same time. Ice kind of fluctuates between, it's always a topic of debate. You know, there's been periods of time where there's like an anti-ice movement that says ice is bad for anything. You should never use ice. And there's also this movement right now that I feel like is catching a lot of traction, where if you go on like a 10-minute walk, as soon as you get back, you should jump in the ice bath. You know, like the other end of the spectrum, where you should be ice, doing some sort of ice all the time. So I like this conversation that we had a couple years ago because it really gives perspective on why ice is used and what the rationale is behind either using ice or not using ice, and where, honestly, I think people will come away listening to this conversation with some good information so that they can make an informed decision on how ice is beneficial in their lives. So I think it's a good one to put up for the public.
Cool. Well, as always, thank you to everyone out there who has supported us in whatever way over the years. But if you haven't yet checked out any of our stuff, oldfriendsfitness.com is where you're going to find everything.
Thank you guys for your support, and hope you enjoy this conversation.
All right, Kyle. So you've mentioned in passing and earlier today that icing doesn't really do much for some of the injuries we've been talking about. Like, I've always thought that icing injuries, or icing in general, is just a no-brainer as far as it being like really beneficial or good for you. So let's get into that. Let's pick your brain a little bit about, you know, where ice fits in this world of skate injury rehab.
All right. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, I've kind of mentioned it a couple times when we're talking about some of these other injuries we've had and other issues. But yeah, I think it'd be good to have a full-on discussion about ice, because in the medical and fitness world these days, ice has kind of become a hot topic of debate. A lot of athletes swear by it. Some physios and other medical professionals think it's the worst thing you can do to an injury or for an injury. Yeah, so I think it'd be good to just put all of these things in perspective and get some clarity. So yeah, let's do it.
Dude, that's crazy. Some really say that it's like the worst thing you can do.
Some people have strong opinions about ice and not a good way.
Wow. Crazy. So give me a little history behind ice and how it became such a standard treatment for injuries and soreness.
Sure. Yeah. Ice really became popular in the late 70s from the work of a physician, Dr. Gabe Merkin. He wrote this big old book about a sports medicine book on how to treat common injuries. And within that book, he came up with the acronym RICE for dealing with injuries. Does that ring a bell? Have you heard of that term?
Yeah. Yeah. We've talked about it. Rest, ice.
Yep.
Compression, elevation, right?
You got it. Yep. Yeah. RICE stands for rest, ice, compression, elevation. So yeah. So Dr. Merkin didn't actually invent that acronym, but he made it really popular in his book. Actually, it's pretty sick. He gives a shout out to skateboarding on the cover of his book, believe it or not.
On the cover?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. So if you...
What does it say?
If you Google the name of his book, I think it's just called the sports medicine book or something like that. On the cover, it says something like, this is the book that every golfer, skier, wrestler, skater needs to read to be better at their sport. So it's kind of funny. Yeah.
But are we sure he's talking about skateboarders? That skier, could it be ice skater? I don't know. I'll take it, but
I'm taking it.
A little sus.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But,
All right.
Yeah. So anyways, he kind of popularized this RICE acronym, mm-hmm. and that's kind of how icing took off in the sports medicine world for the common sprains and strains that athletes deal with. And the emphasis eventually just kind of honed in on the I part of the acronym, or the ice part of the acronym.
Okay.
So from there, ice packs, gel packs, ice baths, all these different forms of icing became popular. And now every sport, every training room has state-of-the-art ways to ice their athletes before and after, usually after their sport. So it's all over the place now.
And so what's the basic idea? It's weird that I'm even asking it, because you'd think being a lifelong, quote-unquote athlete, like you would just know mm-hmm. what it does. But yeah. what is it actually doing?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. Basically, whenever a tissue is damaged or injured, an inflammatory response occurs soon after. And this inflammatory response starts with blood vessels opening up and allowing inflammatory cells and other things to come in and help repair the injured tissue. So this inflammation is basically how the tissue heals itself. And the idea behind ice is it basically hinders the inflammatory process by doing the opposite, by constricting blood vessels, decreasing blood flow, and sort of kind of tampering or delaying this inflammatory process.
All right. So inflammation is a bad thing that happens after, like, let's say an ankle injury, and ice basically slows that down.
Well, that's the thing. No. And this is kind of where the debate starts. We've been told, or we think of inflammation as being kind of this bad thing. But actually, it's not. Not only is it not bad, inflammation is normal and necessary for tissue to repair itself. So inflammation shouldn't really be thought of as a pathology or a disease. It's completely normal. So with that in mind, critics of ice will say, all right, if we really think about inflammation, it's this normal thing that the body goes through after an injury. And if ice combats inflammation, why would we want to do that? Why would we want to delay and decrease inflammation with ice when it's a vital part of tissue healing? Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, I get that.
Okay, yeah. So this recent better understanding of inflammation as being a necessary thing has led some physical therapists and medical professionals to completely swing to the other end of the spectrum and come to the conclusion that ice is a harmful and damaging thing to do to an injury and should never be used.
Whoa.
Yeah, so there's kind of this whole anti-ice crusade, believe it or not, that's started in the health and fitness world.
Damn.
Yeah, there's this guy, Gary Reinl, who's a personal trainer. He's like a famous personal trainer and writer, and he wrote this book called Iced, and it's basically this anti-ice manifesto, like a 200-page anti-ice manifesto.
And it's called iced, like when you get iced, like a Smirnoff ice situation?
Yeah, I think so.
Iced with a D, right?
Iced with a D, yeah. Kind of like, all right, we've been fooled as a society into thinking that ice is this good thing. And actually, the foreword of the book is written by Dr. Merkin, who was the originator of the rice theory.
Really?
So he came back 30 years later and kind of recanted his views on ice. So he's kind of part of this.
Whoa.
Kind of, ironically enough, he's kind of part of this anti-ice phenomenon, even though he was the originator of, he kind of made icing popular. So it's kind of ironic.
Crazy. Yeah.
So anyways, that's kind of the world we're in right now. We have the history of ice just being completely popularized in the treatment of injuries, and it's used in sort of training facilities to help recover from, you know, heavy workouts and, you know, whatever activity you're doing, to now ice being, you know, thought of as this kind of harmful thing in some circles.
Huh. Do you know if Merkin still stands by rest, compression, and elevation? Or is he throwing rice all out the window?
I think he stands more aligned with the R, C, and D, but
cool.
I think he's shied away from the ice part a little bit.
He's a rec guy now, huh?
Yep.
Just R-E-C.
R-E-C.
So now that like I'm getting a little bit better of a sense what inflammation is and what ice is supposed to do, seems like I should just not do it. Like I shouldn't have been icing earlier. Like what's the deal?
Yeah, I mean, you would kind of think, and if ice did what people think it does, then yeah, you'd be right. You wouldn't want to over ice an injury. But the devil's kind of in the details. Ice is not nearly as powerful at combating inflammation as people kind of think it is.
All right, so I figured there'd be some nuance to this. So what does the research say about how much ice actually decreases inflammation if you do want to use it for that?
It actually doesn't decrease inflammation that much. Ice does decrease inflammation, but just a little bit, and not nearly as much as we think. Especially when you compare it to things like ibuprofen and corticosteroids. If you think of, I mean, the analogy is basically if ice is a water gun, ibuprofen is a high-powered AK-47. There's that big of a difference. That's
damn.
Not, that's not an exaggeration either.
Whoa.
So while ice does temporarily decrease blood flow and inflammation, it only does it a little bit. And in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to decrease inflammation enough to harm the body's ability to go through that whole inflammation process and heal. And there's a lot of studies that support that. So basically, ice is not the dangerous thing that these anti-icers claim it is.
Just because it's not that effective either way.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I kind of laugh when I hear, if you go on YouTube, you can hear some of their the interviews with them, and I kind of chuckle when they talk about the dramatic detriment that ice has on the body and its ability to heal itself. It's just they just completely overshoot the effectiveness of ice. It just isn't as powerful at combating inflammation as we think it is. We give it too much credit, basically. Yeah.
Well, this is going to, my mom's going to be stoked to hear this because she's just a lifelong, she's not necessarily anti-ice, but she's just ibuprofen for everything, kind of. Not like overdo it, but everything's just like, just take an ibuprofen. You know, it's like, I feel like it was ingrained as a child to just like always have the 1,000-piece ibuprofen bottle at all times, you know, like never have a house without just endless ibuprofen.
I feel like you've kind of taken that on too. I feel like you always have a bottle of ibuprofen in your car or your backpack.
It's true. Yeah. No, it's essential.
If you really want to, if inflammation is what you're trying to address, something like an ibuprofen would be much more effective than ice.
Yeah. It's just wild though, because I would have put ice as more important for immediate decreasing inflammation than something else. Like I'm big into ice baths for, you know, like after, not over the top usage, but like when I've really destroyed my legs from like a 15 stair, or like I don't know. I just feel like I definitely want to try to skate the next day or later. I just feel like it's something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like such an intense experience. It just feels like it must be doing something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you bring up a good point. And I think that's why this kind of ice narrative has hung on for so long. Anybody who's done an ice bath knows how intense those things are. And yeah. Dude, I used to do them after basketball practice. Let's be real, dude. They fucking suck.
Yeah.
They're miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're pretty brutal, but we kind of assume that the intensity of the ice bath or some of these ice treatments correlates with the level of effectiveness it has on the body. And that just isn't quite the case. Ice really doesn't do as much as far as decreasing inflammation as we feel like it does when we're in that ice bath.
Yeah.
So I think because ice in general is such a strong experience, people's opinions on how well it works are also strong as well. Does that kind of make sense? Am I explaining that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what about how it affects muscle strength and speed, and like we've talked about with static stretching having negative effects on speed, power, performance, things like that. Like, does ice impact anything, any of those things?
Yeah, good question. The research is a little mixed on this. Some studies show a slight and temporary decrease in muscle power and strength and performance and stuff like that after icing. A lot of other studies, in fact, I would say most studies, show that ice doesn't really change those things either way. It has a neutral effect on performance and muscle power. So if you look at the research as a whole, I would say that ice physiologically doesn't have much impact either way on strength, power, performance, stuff like that.
All right, so if ice isn't all that good for inflammation and it doesn't really impact you as a skater, are there some things it's actually good for?
Yeah, ice does have its use. I would say the best thing ice can do is it can be a really good painkiller. So it can be beneficial at sort of immediately numbing pain after, let's say, an ankle sprain. What's good about it is it's simple, it's cheap, it's safe. And, you know, a lot of people don't like taking pain medications. They don't want to take ibuprofen and some of these other pain medications. So ice can be a nice alternative to try instead of those things.
This is like generalizing, but do you know why some people are against things like ibuprofen?
Yeah, there's a couple of studies that kind of caught wind in the mainstream media about sort of effects that ibuprofen and some of these other anti-inflammatories have, like on the stomach and stuff like that. And I think it shied a lot of people away from using them as much. And the side effects, or I think some of those studies were a little bit overblown as far as how the media interpreted them. But that's kind of why, at least within the last 10, 15 years, people seem to not want to use them as much.
I notice that a lot, I feel like.
Yeah, my patients... it's kind of funny. Some of my patients will be like, "Kyle, if I take one ibuprofen, you think that's too much?" I'm like, "No, you're gonna be fine."
Yeah,
you're gonna be fine, John, who's a healthy 27-year-old, you know, active person. Yeah. You'll be fine. but yeah, I noticed that too. But we probably don't need to eat them like candy like you do. But they're
yeah. Or my mom.
Yeah, or your mom, but they're not as gnarly as some people think they are. Yeah, so ice can be a pretty good painkiller. And it can also decrease the sensation of soreness after a heavy session, kind of like what you use it for.
Yeah, because I feel like that's my goal with an ice bath, is like I don't really do it if I've, you know, strained a leg or a muscle or something like that. It's just I want my legs to be a little less sore. That's like all I hope for.
Yeah. Yeah, so it'll help decrease that feeling of soreness. It's not going to help you. It's not going to necessarily help you heal faster from that gnarly session, but you'll feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with soreness. Some people treat soreness like kind of like inflammation, like it's this bad thing that we need to try to minimize at all costs. Mm-hmm. Soreness is completely normal, but sometimes it can be a little annoying when it's really bad, and ice can be
like when it hinders you or stops you from skating, kind of.
Yeah, or you know, it the intensity is enough where it's hard to sleep, stuff like that. You know, when the sensation of soreness is severe, ice can be a good and cheap method to sort of numb that soreness and decrease the sensation of it. So if you have a swollen and painful ankle after a gnarly ankle sprain, throw some ice on it. It's not going to harm anything, and it's going to make it feel better.
That's good for people to hear that, I think.
Yeah.
That's like,
yeah. Yeah. So it's just a matter of rethinking what it's actually doing. It's not going to turn that balloon of an ankle into nothing, but it is going to help decrease the pain you have after a freshly sprained ankle. And then on the other end of the spectrum, if you kind of like what you use it for, if you just finished skating a 15 stair for 4 hours and you're really, really sore and you need some quick relief, just jump in an ice bath and you're going to feel better. So those are kind of where the situations where ice can be beneficial.
Well, I'm stoked to hear what you're saying about it being, you know, maybe not that beneficial straight after an ankle sprain, because I feel like there's been situations where I've been on a skate trip and, you know, I've done something like a rolled ankle and I haven't been able to get ice, and I've worried that that was going to like fuck up my healing process because I didn't immediately get ice on it.
Oh, interesting.
So it's nice to hear that, you know, because a lot of times you just can't get to ice, you know.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
Sort of like, oh, am I going to, is this like going to prolong my recovery?
Fuck. Yeah. But, yeah, no, I think, seriously, dude, I think how we think of ice is, it's just been ingrained in our minds, you know, like we really must have it right after an injury. And we just kind of need to put that into perspective a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, if you have an ice pack, put it on that sprained ankle and it's going to make it feel better. But if it takes a few hours for that to happen, you know, or an afternoon for that to happen, you're going to be okay. And another thing to note, some research has shown that there are some pretty strong psychological effects of icing that ice has. And it kind of makes sense. If you think about it, for many athletes, ice is a staple part of their recovery ritual, and they have a strong belief that it helps with recovery. And, you know, the ritual, the strong belief in what it does, the intense experience of something like an ice bath, the expectation that it's doing something really good, like all those things are strong psychological factors that basically can add the perception of recovery. And it's basically an additional placebo effect that ice treatment can have.
See, I'm coming around to placebo effects, you know? It's like positivity. Let's bring it on.
Yeah. As long as it's, in my mind, as long as it's not like a financially burdensome thing that you have to do to get the placebo, you know, the mind is a powerful thing, you know? If you think something works, you know, that's, it's going to affect how, you know, it affects you.
Yeah. So when it comes to your patients, how often do you use ice or recommend it?
I actually recommend it frequently. So if, you know, if they have a fresh injury, like if they flare up their back, or, you know, if they sprain their ankle, I definitely, you know, recommend that they try ice to see if it helps. But I have a frank conversation with them about what ice is actually doing. So I try to make sure that they know what they're doing when they're icing their injuries. And I basically say, hey, you know, you're in a lot of pain right now. Ice will help numb the pain. It's not going to do much else than that, but you can use it as something that you can do to help kind of decrease the pain that you're going through. So I use it quite a bit because, you know, like I said, it's cheap, simple.
Yep.
It's really easy to set up at home. So it's something you can definitely try for a lot of these painful injuries that I see in the clinic. And I still use it myself.
Really?
Yeah.
When was the last time you used it?
A month ago, I slept wrong and I kind of irritated some of the, I basically hurt my neck. Uh-huh. old man injury.
good old fashioned old man.
Yeah.
Waking up injury.
It's a little embarrassing to admit. But yeah, my neck was really painful for a few days. And, you know, every night when I got home from work, I'd sit on an ice pack for 20, 30 minutes and, you know, it helped. It helped numb the pain for a couple hours. So I still use it myself. And also I think like I'm still, even though I know what I know now about what ice is actually doing, it's still ingrained in my brain that when you're injured, you ice it right away. That's just kind of a habit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I still use it myself.
And then you said you ice for 20, 30 minutes. That's another thing. When it is something you recommend, is it something you don't want to do past a certain amount of time? Or is it, again, sort of just like, well, whatever, it's not doing that much anyway, so it doesn't really matter?
Well, typically I recommend 15, 20 minutes or so. You don't want to ice too long. You don't want to irritate the skin, you know?
Okay. Is that the main reason? I've always sort of wondered about that.
That's the main reason, yeah.
Okay.
So if you are on an ice pack for 2 hours, there's a high likelihood that your skin is going to get irritated. So I dose it based on that.
All right. So all this is making me think of cryotherapy chambers, which I've started to see. What's the deal with, first of all, like, what is it exactly? Because I've never done one myself.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your verdict on those?
Yeah. Yeah, good question. Whole body cryotherapy is basically when you expose yourself to short spurts of really cold temperatures.
So, like, how cold are we talking? Like, more than what ice would be?
Usually it's negative 100 to negative 140 degrees Celsius.
So damn.
Fucking that's freezing. Cold. Yeah.
Jeez.
So you go into these controlled environments, usually little chambers, and they crank down the temperature to these just ungodly low temperatures. But you're in there for like a minute. I think typically okay. They do it for 2 to 4 minutes. So it's short, but really intense. And you're
that's
supposed
so scary.
Yeah. And
kind of like when you say a temperature like that, it's
yeah,
like,
it's crap. It's gnarly.
And so what's the verdict, basically? Like, what, you know?
Yeah, don't waste your money.
Really?
They are not as special as they claim to be. They are no more special or effective than your traditional ice methods. It's kind of a new phenomenon, so there's not a ton of research on it. The research that has been done is pretty sparse, and the quality is pretty poor. But they did a systematic review. Do you know what a systematic review is?
Not really. You've used that term before, and I feel like those two words I can put together and feel like, all right, I know what that means, but
yeah.
What is it exactly?
A systematic review is when they basically look at all the studies that have been done on a certain topic, and they uh-huh. sort of organize it into one systematic review. So if you're going to do a systematic review on ice or on cryotherapy chambers, you look at every single paper that's been done on that topic, and then you organize all that information to make certain conclusions.
Okay. Is there a certain body who publishes those reviews that it has to be coming from one source, or can any research institution do that?
Any research institution can do it.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, if there's a topic where it's like, you know, this we've been debating ice. There's been several studies that have been done on ice. If we put all of that evidence together, I wonder how it would look, or I wonder what conclusions we could come to. And that's when you do a systematic review. So anyways, they did a systematic review comparing the claimed benefits of cryotherapy to the more traditional icy methods, and they really didn't find a whole lot of difference between the two.
Whoa.
So the main point is don't waste your money.
Yeah.
And if you it's funny, if you go to one of these cryotherapy clinics, it's like they sound like salesmen. They tell you that cryotherapy is just God's gift to this earth, and that it cures everything from sports injuries to arthritis to multiple sclerosis, you know, MS. The list goes on.
Man.
And it's mostly bullshit. So don't waste your money.
Good to know. I won't be installing one into my, you know, studio or one bedroom apartment anymore.
Yeah.
Good looks.
Yeah. I know you're saving up your pennies for your in-home cryotherapy chamber, but
yeah, you know, it gets tough carrying up all those ice bags for my ice baths after a session. I'm on a 6'4" walk up, dude. That yeah. shit takes forever.
I get it, but you know, it's you'll save a lot of money just carrying up all those right. ice bags.
Good.
Yeah. You know, it's not just skateboarding that goes through fads. you know, in the health world, a lot of fads come and go, you know, and cryotherapy is going to be one of those popular treatments that will fade away in another year or so. So yeah, that's likely what it's going
to. But for a few years, some rich people get to feel like they've been getting the secret yeah, cures.
Yeah, like they've cracked the code to you know, to everything. Yeah, so yeah, don't waste your money. I'm trying to think. A patient of mine told me they went to one recently. I think she spent like $50-$60 for one of these cryotherapy, one of these 2-minute cryotherapy sessions.
Nuts. Yeah. That's nuts to think about. Yeah, it's like, yeah, because if you think $60, even 100 for like something that would take an hour, it's like, all right, whatever, you know, it's like a commitment. But yeah, you put it into perspective like that, 2 minutes, it's kind of hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to.
You'll just go on a rant. We don't want to see you go on a rant, dude.
I don't want to get on my soapbox too much, but dude, to make something as simple and as cheap as ice, to try to
just capitalize on it that much.
Yeah.
Literally frozen water.
Yeah. To capitalize on it into these, like, you know, thousands of dollar cryotherapy chambers. It's like, dude, come on.
Yeah. Cool. So we've covered a lot. What are the main points everyone should take away from this little bonus episode that we have on icing?
Yeah. So number one, inflammation is not a bad thing. It's the body's normal way of healing itself. We probably need to worry a little bit less about inflammation. And we probably need to stop obsessing about, quote unquote, decreasing inflammation with ice and other various treatments. So I think we kind of need to reframe how we think about inflammation. That's number one. Number two, ice doesn't decrease inflammation, but not that much. Number three, ice will not harm the body's overall ability to go through the inflammation process and heal itself. Therefore, ice is a safe treatment to use. And then next, ice can be a very effective treatment for numbing pain and decreasing soreness. So that's when it's the most beneficial. And last but not least, ice is safe, simple, and cheap. So if you feel like it helps, go for it, use it. And that's cool. That's pretty much it.